Holy shit.
Today we're taking a look at the Herald, a structure or framework that helps improv comedy happen. It was developed by Del Close first at Chicago's IO Theater and then later at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in New York and LA. Welcome to the CSOC Show. I'm Andrew Steven. Throughout the show today, I'm going to be talking with Nick Mondernach,
and I'm a writer and comedian, and I work a lot of UCB theater.
And one of the things he teaches is the Herald.
That's correct. Yes, I'm one of the faculty members, and yes, we teach the Herald structure.
But before we get into the structure, I wanted to share a little bit of the history.
So the committee in 1967 was working on long-form improv.
Is...
Yeah, and this is a San Francisco, like one of the first, like a comedy group, and one of the like the first.
And
like,
they called themselves the committee.
It's a
very
yeah.
regal title, yeah. So it could be like the comedy committee got yes, forth and set yes. forth these bylaws.
Yeah, we created long-form improv.
That's Alan Myers, one of the founders of the committee, from the documentary Thank You, Del, which looks at the influence of Del Close, the late actor, writer, and teacher who coached numerous comedians, SNL alum, and writers, and more. And he also popularized improv comedy as we know it today.
And the best thing to remember about long-form improv and good improv in general is that everything is completely made up on the spot.
That was Amy Poehler from the same documentary.
For the person that knows nothing about improv, it looks like a play. There is literally actors on stage, improvisers on stage, getting a suggestion and looking at each other and starting.
And here's Howard Hessman, part of the committee.
Del's story is that he created it, but he was a member of a company that created it.
They were looking for a way to create long-form pieces that had a structure and were more than just a series of scenes. Because
previous to this, it was mostly games, for lack
sure,
of a better
yeah.
word. It was stuff you might see on like Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Sure, exactly. They're kind of giving you an idea, or they're giving you the fun in advance, right? So I would say, cool, you're gonna I'll put my arms underneath yours, and then you guys will try to X, Y, Z.
Because in essence, I mean the practice of improv was almost developed out of the theater as a way to get out to help your way out of a scenario if someone maybe forgot their lines or something.
Sure.
So
sure.
It would come together with the structure already put in place.
Right.
That
exactly.
you could then work your way out of.
And along the lines of what you're saying, like part of it too is trying to have as much scaffolding as possible so that you don't fail.
Right? Yeah.
So basically in creating the Herald and creating those long form structures, like how can we really create on the spot in a way that has a structure but isn't we're not caged by
so it went from this warm-up to an activity in and of itself into an art form in
right.
and of itself.
Del was teaching a workshop at the committee, and I had become quite interested in long-form playing. In this class, we began to develop devices and approaches to creating something on a much longer and more abstract, more random kind of scale.
This is Ed Greenberg, another member of the committee.
And then one day in the afternoon, we did this thing. It just, the muse finally landed, right? It was just special. Del had this incredible energy, and he was like almost literally bouncing off the walls. And he was saying, we've got this, we've invented, we've created theater history here. And who knew? He turned out to be right? What are we going to call this? And Bill Mathew, the piano player, kind of to undercut in a satiric way Del's hyper enthusiasm, said, well, Harold's a nice name. Del kind of grumbled.
Harold was the first long-form improvisation, and it's a stupid name.
And that was Del Close himself. So what exactly is the Herald?
So a Herald is a long-form improv structure, and just like to put it simply, basically it's a way that ideas will come back throughout a piece. Paul Scheer brought it up in a accessible way. He said, just like in a TV show, how usually there'll be like three strands that like kind of return, like, Jerry has a storyline, and, George has a storyline, and Kramer has a small storyline, and they kind of come together and interweave. That's kind of in a very basic way what's happening in a Herald. We're returning to ideas and creating a piece with them. The first thing we do, you would get a suggestion from the audience. That suggestion leads to an opening. So the whole group comes together and collaborates. You can kind of think of that as like, kind of like a sketch writer meeting in terms of we're creating premises together. We're pitching ideas and we're kind of consolidating like the ideas that this show is going to be about, or at least the start of these scenes are going to be based on.
Great. All right. We're going to jump into a Herald, but first we got to do an opening. There's a variety of different openings for the Herald. What we're going to do today is a living room opening. So we'll get a suggestion in just a second. And then the improvisers will kind of kick around that suggestion, talk about it, see what kind of thoughts it inspires, and then we'll pull our premises from that. So to get started, Andrew, you've been asking people to tweet suggestions. You got something for us?
Yeah, this is from Blair on Twitter. Her name is @BlairImani, and she says cornbread.
Cornbread. Cornbread. Cornbread.
The old food suggestions.
Yeah.
I love cornbread. It's the one thing that I say I can make, but my girlfriend took me to task recently for that because I was like, yeah, I'll make you some cornbread. And what I meant by make was like a ready recipe that I pour into a muffin pan and put water in. But it turns out so good that I was like, I'll make this for you, kind of.
Yeah.
But it's not really making it.
It's like a dupe. Like you're not actually making her anything.
A little bit, yeah.
Like, girl, yeah. We'll make you a lemonade. You just open some Minute Maid.
Yeah.
Like, that's fair. Yeah. Cornbread is like always a Southern thing that I think of. And in the South, we're pretty much like snobs when it comes to anybody's food. Like, I always ask who cooked what before I eat anything. Like, I won't just eat. I'm like, oh, who cooked this? Teresa's niece? Oh, hell no. No, I won't be eating that. Because you can't eat everything. People are nasty.
Yeah, like cooking is like a very, you got to be good at it. Like anybody can like follow directions. Like, mm-hmm. So much of cooking is just following instructions. But what makes something good, I feel like, is departing from those instructions.
Yeah.
Like real right. Chefs are like the people that like my brother. Like, he'll just go into the kitchen and just put a bunch of stuff together, and it tastes great. But he's not following a recipe. He just knows that, like, if you mix this and this and this, it's delicious. And, like that's, like, the only time you could do that. You couldn't just, like, get a bunch of equipment and invent a sport, right? I got 3 baseball bats, a tennis racket, and a net. Yeah, yeah. We're going to make this sport up.
My dad is a great cook, and while I was home for Christmas, he'll make like something and I'm like, this is amazing and like healthy and like I wish I could cook this. And he'll just be like, it's the easiest goddamn thing. It's so you can. And I'll just be like, no, I'd have to buy like spices and pans and stuff. And it was honestly, the dish was like sauteed vegetables. And it was just like, he's like, you could make that. I was like, no, I'll just get the bag from Trader Joe's that you steam in the microwave.
I'll just eat here. Yeah. Cooking's also a great way to like catch a man. Mm. I cooked a lot in college.
Caught a lot of men.
I did, because they were all hungry.
What's that? The saying is the fastest way to a man's heart is
through his stomach.
Yeah. Well, they also talk about in the Bible that, you know, he'll make you fishers of men. So I think you were just being biblical.
Godly. Yeah.
Is that what he was talking? That's what
Jesus was talking
Jesus
about.
Jesus was talking about college girls trying to get laid. Yeah.
Little known fact.
I'm not a big cornbread fan. I don't like how dry it is. I don't like bread that comes apart in your mouth. Like it gets so crummy and like dry. But people say that, like, you haven't had it right. Like, I've had a lot of cornbread. Like, that's a lot of people who are fucking up a basic recipe then.
That might be it. That's like, I had some turkey. I hate turkey because it's always crispy and burnt. like if every time you have it's the worst version of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I only get turkey that's crispy and burnt. That's the only way I know how to ask for it.
Thank you so much for saving me. I was in the desert for so long.
Yeah, you're
thank
welcome. You. You're welcome. Come on.
Bringing me into your home.
Yeah.
Giving me this water. And,
yeah.
I haven't eaten in days. Thank you for this meal.
Yeah.
Who cooked this?
I did last night. It's some leftovers. I've got plenty.
Pass.
What's that?
Pass.
Okay, yeah, maybe it's better that you don't have anything right now.
No, I'm starving and I need to eat.
Okay, okay.
I'm just very particular about who cooks my food. It has to be someone I trust.
Okay.
I don't trust you.
Well, I have taken you in. You did.
Yeah, that's great. That was,
you've been here.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Listen, I promise you, this is just standardized ingredients. It's just a normal watercress salad. Here, just have a little. You look awful.
Where'd you get the watercress?
Went down to the local market.
Pass.
Okay.
Pass. I actually saw that market when I was wandering in the desert.
And you didn't stop there? That's...
No, it looks shady.
Okay. All right, look, you seem pretty affected by the sun. You seem a little exhausted.
Does my skin look bad?
Yeah. You know what? Actually, that looks like a blister. Let me get some ointment.
Thank you so
much.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You're a lifesaver. Yeah. Who manufactured this?
It's on the bottom. Who manufactured it?
Yeah, Procter & Gamble.
Yeah, that's a P&G.
Pass.
Okay, look. What can I help? How can I? Do you have someone you want me to call?
Yes, please. Okay. God, thank you. Call my brother.
Okay, great.
Your brother.
Donald. Okay.
Take my phone.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I should have called him.
Yeah, your battery's dead.
Oh, that's right. I knew there was a reason I didn't call him.
Take my phone, dial your brother.
Thanks. Yeah. Was this a Nokia?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And so, while standing upon the mount, and this is the part I'd like the congregation to really pay attention to, Jesus said unto his followers, and all ye of little faith shall remember the word of the Lord. Mm.
Well,
for when the young are in their dorm rooms getting ready to play the Xbox One or the PlayStation 2, awaiting the return of their man from Theta Chi or similar frat, they shall catch him and catch him well with excellent cooking. Thus ended the lesson.
Amen.
Praise. Amen.
Well, I thank you all. Of course, we'll be handing out the little bowl for donations for the church.
Pastor, I have a concern to bring to the church.
My Bible is accurate. The Bible that I'm using is accurate.
Oh, of course. We all know it's
accurate. Yeah, of course. Yes. I just want to be clear.
Why wouldn't it be?
Of course. I just want to be very clear that the fact that I'm in a college town and we need donations from the church, from you college-going ladies, is not part of the reason for this Bible seemingly being directly catering to your desires and needs. But
and
yes.
Thank you so much for addressing my concern.
Of course.
A large donation, as you know, us college kids are flush.
Thank you.
Cash.
Please place that in there. Ah, yes. Oh. This is a rich college.
Pastor.
Oh, yes.
I wanted to talk to you about something.
Mm-hmm.
I sent a nude photograph to a friend and fellow disciple in which he shared it, and that really reminded me of Mary Magdalene.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, what do I need to do to become clean again?
Let me quote Isaiah 4:12 on this matter. Isaiah said, quite succinctly and quite well, when Mary Magdalene was brought to bear upon the village folk, someone had shared a nude photo of her and texted to all the village.
Mm.
Now, what did they do upon sending this text? They immediately sent a threatening letter to the boy who'd received it, saying that if, for a second, he shall share said image, Mary Magdalene would post the dick pic she had taken of his upon the village walls.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Please put some dollars into this bucket.
Oh, Mom, Dad, oh my gosh, I missed your cooking so much. Oh, this is so good. Oh, what's in the sandwich? Oh.
Bread and ham.
Oh, you got to give me that recipe before I go back to school.
Ham and Swiss cheese sandwich.
Yeah. Swiss cheese, Mom, you forgot the cheese. All right, listen, you guys got to give me this recipe before I go back to school because,
Food there is not as good as this stuff.
It's actually just everything that you just said. It's the ham, the Swiss cheese, and the bread.
I know, but it can't be that easy.
Michael, it is that. We got the bread at Riesbeck's, the grocery store down there on Grand. Mm-hmm. I think we got the cheese and the ham at Riesbeck's.
Yeah, same place.
But come on, man. I can't drive all the way down from Ohio State to Riesbeck's. Come on.
There's got to be a grocery store in Columbus.
Yeah. You say it that easy, but I'm busy. You know, I don't have time to put the hours into a dinner the way that you guys do. Oh, man. All these chips are good.
Michael, they're Lay's. They're just Lay's potato chips. They sell them everywhere. Are you just coming down here to eat all our food? Is this really about how it tastes?
No. I love your food. I come down here to see you guys, to do my laundry, to check in on Timmy and Skip. But I just can't get a meal like this at school.
What kind of a meal? Walk us through a meal that you have at your school that's so bad that ham and cheese makes it seem amazing.
Okay, so for example, if I wanted to make what you guys made, right? I got to go to the store. I got to buy a bag of bread. Mm-hmm. I got to ask somebody where ham is. I got to find out where cheese is, if they even have it, what aisle I have to go
You're
to.
You're almost done.
Yeah. But what's You're next? You're nailing this. But what's next? Those are just a list of ingredients.
You put it together and you eat it.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry, okay? I'm sorry I didn't raise two kids and a dad, okay? Just put it together. I'm not a magician. I'm not going to school for magic. I'm going to school for business, okay?
How did you even get in this school? You can't make a sandwich and you're at...
Yeah, if they put making a sandwich on the application, I would have eaten it, okay? But they didn't, okay? I studied hard, and then I get to school, and then I... Look, you guys say it like it's simple, but you've coddled me my whole life.
Maybe this is...
Our fault.
Okay.
Our fault. Well... Let's look at what's left of that sandwich there, buddy.
Okay.
You got like a little vivisection of a sandwich going on. You could see that the bread's on the outside, the meat and the cheese are on the inside, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Open it up.
Okay.
Now
put it back together.
I don't know how else to teach this, honestly. Like, you either get that or you don't.
Okay, yeah. Okay, maybe I picked a bad thing, okay? But what... Look, sandwich is one thing, okay? What about soup, okay?
Soup is literally... Oh, my God.
It's water and...
No, it's not. I tried that. I tried to make soup. I ended up making tea.
No, that's... What did you put in your soup?
Water. I did exactly what you guys did. I put a bunch of water in a bowl. I heated it up till it bubbles. Like, you guys... Like
you put a tea bag in it?
And then you put a tea bag in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
What? When I put the can in there, nothing happened.
All right, let's not even worry about
I ruined
soup
a can,
from
I ruined
scratch.
A pot, I caused a small fire.
You didn't take the can out of you didn't take the soup out of the can? You
put
the
can. Ow! It's in there so tight. Ow!
You seem like you can't be trusted on your own, son. I didn't realize it was this bad. You tried to make canned soup and caused a small fire.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, you might be a danger to yourself.
Can I have another juice box?
You can get it yourself, can't you?
I don't know how to put the
They're
juice
right
in the box.
There. It's pre-box. All right, guys. So, gym class today. I don't really have anything planned, but let's see. We got two tennis rackets, baseball bat, soccer ball, some free weights.
Yeah.
And one of those big tarps. It's like a parachute thing.
Uh-huh.
So let's invent a sport, guys. We can rip
Of course, you know, we don't have to use all the equipment that's in the gym. Like, we could just use the soccer ball for some soccer.
The school paid for this equipment. We're going to use it every day. All right?
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Tammy, you want to be on weights?
I don't know what that means.
No one knows what it means.
We're inventing a sport.
My mom said I'm not supposed to break a sweat.
Well, then
Coach,
listen,
look,
been a very
here's the truth, man.
Simple game.
We're all just in this because we need the athletic credit, all right? But I kind of agree with Sputz. Like, just let us kick the soccer ball around a little bit.
All right, you guys want to kick the soccer ball around?
Yeah, great. I'll play with the parachute.
So you'll be the goalie, and the goal is to get the soccer ball into the parachute without touching any of the free weights. You're hitting each other with tennis rackets, and somebody's got a baseball bat between their legs. All right.
Okay.
Ow!
This baseball bat is hurting my privates.
Nice racket work, Tommy.
All right, pass, 4-3. Pass, come in. Gosh, you guys are sweaty. I don't know what the coach is making you do. Okay, listen, for science today, we're going to, I've got two beakers, I've got a fossil, I've got some formaldehyde, and I've got the periodic table of the elements. I want you guys to design a science plan for yourselves.
A science plan?
What? Whoa. A science plan?
A science plan.
Why don't we just learn periodic table? Like, we still need to know about elements.
Because that's just one thing that I have to use in this classroom, Todd, okay?
All right, fine.
This isn't even a real periodic table. This is a Breaking Bad promotional poster.
Yes.
We can't learn science like this.
It's got most of the elements on there that you need to know, okay?
Okay, fine. I'll hold the periodic table.
Okay. What? They sent it with the screener, and we're going to use it. Right. We're going to use it.
This formaldehyde's really strong. I'm getting dizzy.
Okay, look, I'll hold the periodic table. We have to pass the formaldehyde back and forth. But if anybody hits you with a beaker, then you're out.
Okay, great. Right. This baseball bat's hurting my privates.
All right, detention. You guys are all in here for screwing around in science.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to get punished. Understand?
Fine.
I got a dunce cap, a switch that I cut out of a tree out back. Oh. I got a ruler. There's a timeout corner. And I have one half-filled out form for expulsion. You guys work it out amongst yourselves.
What? All right, fine.
I'll take the form.
Yeah.
I can't break a sweat.
Okay. Put on the dunce cap.
Okay, I'll take the, what was it, the ruler switch. And switch?
Yeah, you run around with the ruler.
I'll run around with the ruler and switch, and if I hit anyone, then they're out.
Yeah.
Ow. The switch is hurting my privates.
So one of the, you know, we're talking about how ideas and scenes we're returning to scenes and for UCB would say return to games, or like, and when we say game, we mean there's like one funny thing in a scene. What's funny about this, the way that there'd be a funny thing about a sketch, for instance. So the first thing we'd kind of like set up those scenes, and then
there's a suggestion first.
Suggestion first.
Then there's an opening.
Yes.
And there are different types of
openings. Yes, exactly.
And so the different type of openings, there are some formalized, but it's also just.
Yes.
The point of an opening is to sort of take the suggestion and expand it, so then the scenes can sort of mine from that.
That's exactly
to create
it.
The scenes.
Correct.
Because it's harder to create just a scene off of one word. Right. Now you have a story.
And also, you know, the other thought with the whole group coming together is now we have group ownerships of these ideas. So it's not just three two-person scenes.
Yeah.
Those two-person scenes are still connecting back to the ensemble and to the group.
And in a less formal show, like an ASCAT show that maybe listeners might be familiar with, the monologues
exactly.
as the opening.
Totally. Exactly.
So those are kind of better. Okay.
Yes, exactly.
So then out of the opening, you go into beat one.
To scene one, yeah. Scene two. One. And those are our first beats. Yeah.
And so you have three different scenes based on that opening. And then after that, you go into
a group game. Yeah. And a group game is when we're coming back together. We kind of are taking a break. So
we don't really have a group game today in this example, but we can let this explanation serve as the palate cleanser. Like the group game would do during the Herald.
The reason for that, you know, we're talking about that palate cleanser element is like, if we've just had a bunch of scenic scenes, maybe this might be a good time to do a song or to be, or, you know, whatever that might be.
Something different.
Something different. Yeah. Something so that when we come back to those scenes, we're kind of refreshed and ready for.
And excited.
Yeah.
You know, totally. Like if you do a callback 2 seconds after someone says something, it's just like, you're just repeating me.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
When it's at the end of the show with something referenced at the beginning, you've earned that.
Exactly. So, exactly.
So, okay. So now we're into the second beat.
Yes.
And the would you call it the second scene, or would you call it the fourth scene?
Yeah,
or fifth?
I would call it the second. I call it just the first scene, second beat would be like if I was in classes. First scene, second beat of the first scene. And again, there we're returning. So we might take those same characters. We might see them if that was what's funny. You'd also mention something analogous, right? Like if it's like a. If it's like an arrogant coworker or something like that, we might see an arrogant crabs. We might see two crabs in the ocean, right? Obviously, we're not returning to those characters, but we hopefully have like what was fun to us about that first scene in that second beat.
And it's often the same members of the ensemble that are starting this.
That might start that out. And again, those, there's like openness there. It's going to, that's all kind of like stylistic, but in for the sake of like, if we're in a 401, 301 class, we'd probably start out with the same cast members, although, and then open it up to the group. And that's just for the sake of like simplicity. But again, as things get more advanced, that becomes more fluid.
And so you talk about the other term I hear a lot at UCB and elsewhere is the idea of heightening. Mm-hmm. So you're going to take the same, the game, the what was funny of the scene, mm-hmm. and heighten it.
All right, I don't have any requests or anyone, any loved ones that I need to talk to you before you switch on this electric chair. So let's just give me my last meal and be done with it.
All right. Per your instructions, your last meal. Chicken fried steak. There you go.
Thank you.
French fries, steak cut.
Thank you.
Mashed potatoes.
Double potato. Thank you. And,
twice baked potato.
Thank you for the twice baked potato. Do you have my chips?
And potato chips.
And, who cooked this?
The prison chef cooked all of the meals. We have a prison chef.
With Rodney or Barry?
This is actually one that we hire for these purposes.
I'll pass.
You want to pass on your last meal?
I want to pass. And you can't kill me until I eat my last meal.
That's not how it works.
Really?
I'm here with the needle.
No.
Oh, you couldn't?
No, Jenkins. Jenkins, that's lethal injection. That's actually right. He has to eat the meal.
What?
Yes, it's a provision. He's got us right now.
God.
Look, what do you want to eat, and we'll bring
it. I just want something from someone that I trust. When I was in the prison, I ate food that Barry cooked.
Okay, great. I trust Barry. Great. We'll go to Barry, and we'll have him make you something and bring it down.
You'll just go to his house, because it's the weekend, go to his house and have him cook something?
All right, look, fuck. Guys, we're taking the execution to Barry's.
Hello?
Hey, Barry, it's me, Warden Chambers.
Yes, yeah, so what's up? Something wrong?
Hey, look,
Oh, shit.
Hey, Barry. Yeah.
He's refusing to eat the last meal. He doesn't trust you made it. Can you whip together a chicken fried steak, twice baked potato, steak cut fries, mashed potatoes?
Oh, potato man. Chips? I'm hosting a thing right. Ah. Okay. Oh.
I'm going to pass.
What?
I don't want it from Barry if he's stressed out.
What?
I trust Barry when he's in a groove, but I don't trust him when he's stressed out. I pass.
I'm still here with the needle.
All right, everybody, get back in the cars. Get back. Okay, listen. It's been 3 weeks. You have to eat a last meal.
I'm so hungry.
Yes. You're going to die of natural causes. This is a win-win for us. We're just delaying the inevitable.
Okay. What's the meaning of this? You just show up at Gordon Ramsay's house and you think I'm going to cook you something.
Yes, Gordon, my name is Warden Chambers. I'm the warden of the state penitentiary. Our prisoner here has requested a last meal, and he refuses to take it unless he trusts who makes it.
All right, well, obviously you said you're a fan of mine. You've seen my shows. Yeah, you trust my work. All right. Yes. Okay, I'll do this for the state. Great. For the state. Yeah. The state.
Here's the menu.
Great. Okay, this is the menu. Ah, jeez, yeah. Okay. I mean, I guess I gotta make this to make it work. All right. Okay, well, obviously this pan's a little dirty, so I'll just use a replacement pan for this.
And who manufactured that pan?
What's that?
Who manufactured that pan?
KitchenAid.
Pass.
What do you mean pass? The pan makes no difference to the food.
I only eat food that's in pans that I... You know what? Just kill me.
Wonderful.
Give me that needle.
All right.
Oh, sign right here. Hello, I'm St. Peter.
Wow, I'm sorry. This is just all so much.
No, of course we know that you were killed for quite a crime, but we also know that you are a good soul at heart.
Yes, I'll sign in here.
Yes, and if you make your way right through this gate right here, you'll see that you just get on that little Cloud Express and it'll take you straight to your heavenly quarters.
Cloud Express?
Yes, it's a Cloud Express. What?
Pass.
What do you mean?
I pass on heaven. Father, forgive me. It's been 2 weeks since my last confession.
Yes, my child.
I, just wanted to tell you that... Let's see. I've sinned. Forgive me for I've sinned. I took the Lord's name in vain. I coveted things that my friends have, and but mostly I made out with my friend Sarah's boyfriend, and for this I know that I'll have to atone.
Yes. Now, you do know the Bible says that if a young lady makes out with her friend Sarah's boyfriend, that is 12 Hail Marys.
One, two, three, four, five.
You could, yes.
Oh, all right, guys, it's time for choir practice. Okay. Is everyone ready?
Mm-hmm. We're all ready.
All right, we're going to start with verse one of Jesus, Why You Ghosted Me. Mm-hmm.
Jesus, why are you ghosting me?
I see you read my text at three.
Jesus, why are you ghosting me?
I see that you could have texted me.
Jesus, why are you ghosting me?
I thought that we had fun and I gave you all my digits.
Jesus, why are you ghosting me? I know you're not busy, I saw you at CVS. Jesus, why are you ghosting me?
Wow, you nailed that solo, Brittany.
Thank you.
You nailed your solo.
Wow. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next contestant on Top Chef is Michael from Columbus, Ohio. Michael, why don't you walk us through your dish?
Thank you. Thank you, Robin. All right. So when the refrigerator opened up and we had a number of things to choose from, I thought to myself, sure, I can create a traditional Middle Eastern meal. Mm-hmm. Or I can blow the chef's minds. So what I did is I thought a little outside of the pantry box. May I present to you this ham and cheese sandwich?
Doom, 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 tsh, zoom, camera zooms in.
Oh, okay. I don't think these were the specified ingredients, but let's see what the judges think. Judges, what do we think of Michael's ham and cheese sandwich?
Well, I appreciate the simplicity. It's very simple.
Thank you.
The bread is not even toasted. The bread is white and soft. I love it.
Thanks. Thank you.
You know, when I learned to cook in the kitchens of Austria, we had a saying. Our saying was ingredients, 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 ingredients. And then when I came to America, I realized that was all wrong. It's not about so many ingredients. This is simplicity personified. It's just bread, ham, cheese. It's beautiful, simple. I love it.
Thank you.
Well, Michael, it sounds like the judges are in love with your sandwich, which appears to be comprised of two slices of white bread on top of each other, and then the ham and cheese on top of it.
I didn't make it.
What?
I'm sorry.
Time for a Top Chef confession. Camera zooms in.
Okay, confession time. When the chef said that the challenge was going to be to create some Middle Eastern meal, I panicked. I went in and I pictured the Ryback in my mom's neighborhood, and I just went for what I knew. So I grabbed the bread, I grabbed the ham, I grabbed the cheese, and then I took it home. I told everybody I had to go to the bathroom, and instead I drove home. And then I asked my mom and my dad to make it for me real quick, and then I got back in my car, and I drove back, and then I got back in the bathroom, and I pretend to be real, like I was in a lot of pain. That's why I was in the bathroom as long as I was, and then I brought the sandwich out, and I put it on the plate.
And I think one way to, you know, when we talk about heightening and build within a show and like that pacing, I think just by adding group support and seeing like eight people tackle an idea, you know, that's going to naturally get you a sense of heightening and texture and development and build. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what comes after beat two?
Great. Then we return to a group game, right? So we've returned to those scenes and then we turn to a group game. Again, something different.
Again, we can let this explanation serve as our group game / palate cleanser.
And then we get into third beats, and in the third beats return to those scenes, but they can connect to each other. So we might, I kind of say, like, we make the assumption that maybe they're all in the same world. And is there a logical way that we might connect? And they might never connect. It might never be earned for them to come together. But we kind of have that option to kind of like close that piece up through connections.
And so really it is, in a sense, writing a sitcom on the spot.
Yeah. And yeah, definitely.
I mean, I don't mean to be, sure. You know, diminish it.
But no,
it
it's
is.
Great. No, I don't think that diminishes it at all.
But you have
the
three act structure, you have then, you know, sort of, and it mm-hmm. pays off at the end.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
That idea, which is basically we're developing ideas throughout, like this is the similarity. We're developing ideas together and we're throughout a piece and hopefully paying off those pieces in some way. The difference would be, at least UCB wise, we don't need to worry about like plot the way that like yes. a story, like in a story, for instance, if a character starts off very arrogant in the first, maybe this character has a moment of realization and realizes, man, I'm not so great at the very end. We wouldn't need to worry about that within.
It's less story driven and
exactly.
more game driven.
Yeah, exactly. We're more interested in following the fun of that and seeing that. I had a teacher who said, like, you know, you never see the Three Stooges episodes where they're nice to each other, right? Like we're not really as worried about
we're asking
that.
For forgiveness
yeah. asking
or
for,
in
like,
the hospital.
What have
I
we
mean?
Done? Larry, what have I done? There we go. That's our first premise. If this is an opening, that would be our first premise that we might pull and play.
Yeah, I don't know, guys. I'm looking at this menu and I don't see anything here that I've ever had a good version of. You know what I mean? Like I've had like salad. I've never had a good salad. You know, salads are always like.
You've never had a good salad?
No, salads are, they're always like, you know, they're always too like wet. I feel like every salad I've had is super wet.
What?
Yeah.
Wet?
Yeah.
Dude, maybe you're putting too much dressing on. Ask for the dressing on the side. Sometimes I'll do that if I want my salad a little drier.
Huh. I'm definitely going with a salad because I'm looking at this menu, looking at these sandwiches. Like, I've never had a good sandwich.
Wait, what?
A sandwich?
Yeah. It's always wet, right?
They're always too goddamn wet.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you guys are maybe getting them au jus. You got to stop dipping them and stuff.
Yeah.
Just get the au jus
wet,
sauce
man.
On
They're
the
all
side.
Wet, man.
They're always wet, right?
No. Look, I know what I'm getting. I'm definitely getting a salad. I am getting a sandwich, and I am skipping the soup.
Skipping the soup?
Why? Yeah. Why?
Because it's dry as fuck.
You always have dry soup?
Yeah.
That's not soup. Whatever you're having isn't soup.
Yeah,
it's like salsa or something. But even that.
Still be pretty moist.
Yeah, it's still be pretty moist, I guess.
Yeah, you just eating powder? What is it? Just like soup powder?
I don't know, man. They just bring it. They bring in the little wrappers.
Huh.
It always comes with the soup, little wrappers.
You're eating crackers. The cracker, man. You're eating the cracker and skipping the soup.
Man. That's what I'm doing. You're right.
I'm putting too much dressing on. You're putting too much au jus.
I'm just eating those crackers.
I also hate how sandwiches are so, like, slimy and gross, and there's always, like, a toothpick stuck through them, and they're, like, long and green, and they're, like, toothpick to your...
You're describing a pickle, man.
Yeah, that's what I've been eating.
You've been making entire meals out of pickles.
They're too wet.
If salads weren't like white and liquid, you know what I mean? If they weren't like a white liquid that comes in a little ramekin, they would be
that's
delicious.
That's ranch.
That's a salad.
It's
a bowl of salad.
No, that's just ranch. You're eating ranch.
Guys, do we know that's how food wet. Works?
I don't think we do.
I was a business major.
Yeah, I did communications.
I went to Ohio State.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
I think we're a little over our heads here.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe we should just let the waiter or waitress recommend.
Yeah, we'll ask them what they recommend.
I'm not the waitress. Y'all are in the women's bathroom.
That was great.
So that's the Herald in a nutshell, but just because it's taught at UCB, it doesn't mean that every improv show you see is doing a Herald.
So here's what I've taken from it and my team JV And also Magic to Do, which is the musical team. Usually our first three scenes, we try to keep to about two people as much as possible. And the reason we do that, one is by kind of like, it creates a little bit more of a solid foundation, right? And also it gives us room to build and add that group support as it goes on. So that's not a hard and fast rule, but we try to do about three two-person scenes at the top. Then even though we might never return to those actual scenes, we start to add more more group support, like again, seeing eight people play those ideas, we kind of build and build, and then we tend to look for connections around, like, for each half about 25-ish minutes.
Yeah.
So we've taken away the strict beats of that. There might not be an ascribed like group game slot there, but there's still kind of a structure there. Yeah, and like elements of pacing and rhythm that we're using from there.
I think it's interesting too, talking about this, starting with smaller scenes, mm-hmm. smaller people in these. I mean, I've gone to a few improv jams, which is like the improv equivalent yes. of a open mic for stand up, mm-hmm. and partially because there's so many people who want to get yes, on yes. stage time, but also I feel like a common mistake is mm-hmm. like one person will walk out to initiate a scene and then right. another person, and then before that person's even finished something, like three yes, more people come on.
Yes.
And then you're like all of a sudden in this, you know.
It's a clusterfuck. Yeah, it's a complete clusterfuck. Yeah.
But yeah, starting with the, you know, we all can be lured by the sexiness of like big and grand and broad,
sure.
but sometimes simple and contained is actually what we need.
I mean, getting two minds on the same page is hard enough. I mean, every time you add one, it's like almost like exponentially harder to get people on the same page, particularly if they don't like rehearse together, like et cetera. So yeah, so that's, again, the importance of that. The building block is always going to be those two-person scenes. So for instance, like, again, we're talking about a basic structure, but it can get pretty advanced, and a lot of these rules get broken, etc. But one thing I always say is it always comes back down to strong scene work. Like, no matter what you're doing, and if it's all going to be, if we find out that all these scenes are based in someone's mind and this is all a nightmare, this entire show has been in a nightmare, it's still going to, that's going to be the icing on the cake that yeah. is good scene work.
Special, special thanks today to Nick. Thank you so much for sharing your time. You're a teacher who teaches this stuff, so you get paid to do it, and you came and talked to me for free. So I really appreciate you doing that. Now, if people want to see you perform, mm-hmm. they can. You mentioned a couple shows.
Yeah, so JV is Friday nights at 11 o'clock at UCB Franklin, and then Magic to Do is Thursdays at 7 o'clock at UCB Sunset, and then I have a show of one-act plays with my buddy Anthony Gio, and that's called Legitimate Goddamn Theater. So we do like five. We bring in friends, and there's five one-act plays, and that's the second Tuesday of every month at UCB Sunset.
Awesome. And then if you're interested in the Herald, you can check it out most Mondays and yeah. Fridays.
Yeah, there's a 6:30 slot on Friday, and I think a 10:30 Thursday slot. So yeah, check out the UCB schedule and look for Herald. Check it out.
Very cool. Where can people find you online if you would like them to?
At ManderNick on Twitter.
If that sounded interesting to you, you can always check out classes at UCB Upright Citizens Brigade, or maybe even watch the UCB show on CISO to see some of the similar style of comedy up there. And if the documentary Thank You, Dell sounded interesting, that's also available on CISO. So be sure to check both those out. I want to say a big thank you to the four improvisers who performed the Herald this week.
Hey, everybody. This is Mike McClendon. I am on the UCB House Team Outside Dog. We are a former Herald team. I started studying the Herald at IO West and then transitioned over to UCB, and I have played on Herald teams of both.
Oh, hello. I am Dhruvaday Singh. I'm on the UCB Herald team Rococo. Also was on a Herald team at, or a couple Herald teams at IO West before this. That's it.
Hi, my name is Lacey Mosley. I'm currently on the Herald team Dirt, and I also do an improv team called Obamas of the Daughters. That's an all-black, all-female improv formation. Ayy.
Hey guys, I'm Greg Gallant. I am on the UCB Herald team Queen George, and I also studied at Second City and IO and did some Herald teams at IO as well.
And of course, thank you for listening to this show. Anyways, I hope you have a great week and see you next time. Bye.